This week, we're trying to figure out if another new hotel is coming to Universal before telling you which attractions to try based on similar rides over at Disney World. From the Bob Varley Studio, this is Episode 12 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, hey, everyone. We're back once again to talk about all things Universal Orlando. I'm Craig Williams.
And I'm Sean Thompson.
And this week, we've got a really, really fun segment coming up talking about what you absolutely have to check out at Universal, depending on whether or not you like certain rides at Disney, which came from the brilliant, brilliant mind of Sean Thompson.
Yeah, well, it's so brilliant.
So
that guy's great.
Well, you are, but do you want to explain anything else about it?
Well, sure. So my basic idea was, I think that a lot of people that are listeners to our show or viewers of our show are very familiar with Disney attractions. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people. So my idea was, let's equate some of those things that people will experience at Universal with some of the things that people are probably more used to at Disney. So
yeah.
If you like this sort of attraction, if you like this experience, whatever, go to Universal and try this out.
So, that sounds really awesome, and yeah. I can't wait to talk about it.
I'm so excited.
And, you know, we will get to that in a little while, but before we get to that, we actually want to talk about what's trending now at Universal Orlando.
Yeah, that's good. Let's...
You what? You want to? You want to talk about what's trending?
Yes, I do want to talk. I just want to make sure everything's good with the feed, so...
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yes.
Well, first off, Royal Pacific.
Okay. What's happening with Royal Pacific?
There's a planned expansion that...
Okay.
First off, let me get to it. Universal and Loews Hotel recently filed plans with Orange County to secure permits for a new hotel expansion right between Royal Pacific and Cabana Bay.
Okay.
So the actual plans themselves, which we don't have because I don't know how to go into a courthouse and break in and steal these files that other people know that they do.
Okay.
I just don't do it. But so they filed these plans, and they are the expansion area is kind of right beside Royal Pacific across the road from Cabana Bay.
Uh-huh.
And it says right on the files, Royal Pacific expansion.
Sure.
Because I did look at them. I just don't have them here.
You just didn't break into the courthouse.
Exactly.
Okay.
But rumors are actually mixed between whether or not it's going to be the expansion to Royal Pacific or if it could be multiple hotels coming.
Okay, sure.
So,
because how big is the land? Did they specify exactly how big it is?
It's not very big.
Yeah.
No, it's a huge plot of land, but I always look at these giant areas and mm-hmm. think, what can they actually put on there? It's so small. And then they end up putting a huge hotel or like, you know, if you're at Disney World and you look around Bay Lake and they said, oh, we're supposed to have six hotels here or something to begin with. And then you look at that land and look like there's no room to put anything else, but these theme park people always find
they're
a way.
They're wizards, you might say.
It's very Jurassic Park. Life will find a way. Theme parks will find a way.
Yeah.
And part of the rumor, though, goes to the fact that that Wet n Wild is kind of down the road.
Sure.
And I guess Universal used to own a lot of land in between there and Wet n Wild. And so they do own Wet n Wild, mm-hmm. if you weren't familiar with that. So maybe they might try to even buy some of that land back in between and build stuff there.
That would be interesting. Do you think that they would expand Wet n Wild, or do you think they would just bring people closer to both sections of their properties?
At one point, I heard that a new water park would go in, but then thinking about it, Wet n Wild is actually popular, despite I'd never want to go there.
The thing about Wet n Wild is weird for me. It's so close to I-4.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a good water park. And I've never been there, so I don't want to judge it. I can't give a good opinion about it. But
that's not even the weird part about it for me. The weird part about it for me is that it's kind of like any water park you could go to anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
It's not there's nothing really unique. There are a lot of fun slides and stuff, but it doesn't have that theming like Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach.
I completely agree. Yeah.
But whenever I was researching it, one of the facts that I found is that Wet n Wild used to be the most visited water park in the world up until 1999.
What happened in 1999?
I guess they finally decided that Typhoon and Blizzard... Well, Blizzard opened up in 98, didn't it?
98. So I have a feeling that's probably involved somehow.
That probably was. So there might be something happening that way. But I'm going to believe the plans that actually say Royal Pacific expansion.
I do too. I think that would be interesting. I love that resort. Well, I've been able to visit it a little bit recently.
And one of the things they're talking about adding on, well, the rumors, so they go, are that they're going to add on the family suites, kind of in the same style of Cabana Bay.
Yeah.
So that way you have Royal Pacific, which is considered a deluxe hotel, but then they're also going to have a branch of it that is equipped with the family suites and accommodate more people. But however, they're also saying that the perks for that would be gone. Like, you're not going to get the express pass if you stay at a family suite. It is, but I mean...
Huh. Well, because to me, it almost sounds like kind of the villas or the suites that you would find in a Disney deluxe resort. So, I mean, like the Grand Floridian Villas. I know it's not DVC related. There's no timeshare, but...
Well, that would make even more sense to me.
It feels like there's that quality there. I don't know why you wouldn't get those perks, but...
No, I mean, considering it is already a deluxe resort, but they could step it up to the next level. However, from everything I've heard recently about people staying there, it's kind of slipped definitely well under Hard Rock and Portofino in terms of the quality of the hotel.
Wow, okay.
Which, I mean, judging, we've been to the restaurants a lot recently.
Yeah, and just the common areas. I've never seen the rooms or anything.
Yeah, but all those areas are still so well kept. So I don't know what's going on with the rooms.
Sure.
It's kind of lowering it. So maybe something that actually is more high-end would actually help out.
Okay.
But actually, I'm going to say actually four more times.
Yeah, please. I think that's the theme. Yeah,
well,
actually.
But... So, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. No, I think I'm good. You want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about the next one.
I'm pretty excited about this one. You want me to?
Well, it's kind of breaking news, so go ahead.
It is breaking news. So the next trending now topic is soft openings of Diagon Alley at Universal Studios Florida. And we've just learned that today, within the past few hours, I believe this afternoon, they started to soft open Hogwarts Express.
Yeah.
That went in for some actual guests are now in the parks. Last night, I believe, was the first night that the package guests were able to go in. So we knew that paying guests who booked this special package were going to be able to go into the park. Yep. And I believe that a lucky few were able to actually ride Escape from Gringotts, but I think it did have some issues, so they were asked to leave. But there was no guarantee. They were evac'd and everything.
Yeah.
But today marks the first time that guests that have not booked a special package are able to experience something from Diagon Alley. And it's not in the section, but it's at least Hogwarts Express, and they were able to go all the way to Hogsmeade and then go all the way back to... King's Cross.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. The people who booked the package were promised some time in there, an exclusive preview of
exactly.
it. So what they were getting was 2 hours in there. From 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock was that first night, and I believe that was the same for this one. I'm guessing that's going to be the trend. They're going to show off dinner at Leaky Cauldron more than anything else.
Yeah.
So they get that time at night. If everything's working... specifically Escape from Gringotts, then they'll get to experience that. If not, then they get to still do all the shopping, all the food they're doing. Celestina Warbeck, and I don't like that show.
I know you don't, which upsets me, but...
But they're doing everything in there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of huge that they did Diagon Alley this way, having the train not technically drop you off inside, because first off, that doesn't work according to the books or the movies.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But second, it was... kind of considered a nightmare for people who do get off that train and expect to go right in to find out that they actually are going to have to get a wait time ticket before they can get in there. So that's terrible. However, I don't think Diagon Alley is going to soft open itself while these vacation packages are still happening. I think it's going to be locked tight until July 8th, whenever the grand opening happens. But the fact that we kind of completely overlooked that... All this people waiting for soft opens could still go on Hogwarts Express without going in Diagon Alley.
Well,
that's kind of a huge thing.
I think it's a brilliant idea on Universal's part, because this is one of the most logistically complicated parts, having people either have the two-park pass or that need to upgrade.
Yep.
So I think if they're practicing the part that I think is going to require the most attention to detail, at least.
I totally
agree.
Aside
from the attractions, like Escape from Gringotts. But from what I'm hearing, people are already... jumping at the chance to upgrade their tickets so that they can take the train the full way over to Hogsmeade instead of just, you know, looking at the train station.
No, and I mean, I'm guessing the trend from now on actually is, well, for the next week, people are only going to stick with that one park pass if they know they can't ride the train. But yeah, of course, once it happens, everyone's going to start buying this two park pass.
And I agree.
It's good to hear that people are being happy about upgrading. And I mean, if Universal wouldn't have thought about actually putting ticket sales out front there, that could have turned into an app.
I mean,
that's disaster.
One of the most important things. You can't tell people you can't ride the ride unless you go back to the front of the park, upgrade your ticket, and then go back. So, we've talked about this before. This is a brilliant idea on Universal's part.
Yeah, I mean, you can, but you're just really mean. So, and I mean, there's not really a lot else coming out from that. So, there's still no definitive answer on whether or not soft opens will happen every day or what's going on with it. But for people who aren't lucky enough to experience the soft openings, hopefully you tuned in last night on June 30th or set your DVR for the Meredith Vieira Harry Potter special.
And we have Meredith with us.
We do have Meredith with us. Right on the side.
Look, she's right there. Yeah, so Universal got to do... I'm so excited about Meredith Vieira. Universal teamed up with NBC, which is another part of, you know, NBC Universal, so it's the same company. But they put on this hour-long behind the scenes of Diagon Alley TV special. Yep. And I thought it was great. It was an hour long and it actually went into pretty good detail. I was surprised at a lot of the parts that they showed us. They did it in kind of a timeline format where they went back 4 years or something when they started to talk about expanding Wizarding World.
Yeah.
And they discussed the sketches. They discussed the team they brought on. They discussed how the train was built in Switzerland and then they brought it over. And
oh yeah. And I mean, my favorite part besides the pre-taped clips of Daniel Radcliffe from 4 years ago, whenever the first Wizarding World came out. My absolute favorite part was getting to see the behind the scenes on whenever they were actually filming the scenes for Escape from Gringotts and the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah.
That was so cool seeing the characters actually back in their gear. And
even that was 2 years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
They've changed so much since then.
I just mean the fact that it just opened and they filmed those parts for this ride 2 years ago.
Well, the best part, and I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but it's very hard on the ride to actually tell that that's actual Ron Weasley. Because as we discussed on the last show about Diagon Alley, Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson did not film any scenes or dialogue for it. But Ron Weasley did. And he's on this special, and they make it seem like he's a big deal. And when people get there and find out that he like is barely in it, I think a lot of people will be disappointed.
You know about that. He has a small part in it.
It's very, very small. Okay. I mean, he actually put his head up against the train window whenever you see that on the Hogwarts Express. But
yeah.
No, it was a really excellent special.
I completely agree. I hope that they... At least this encourages people to do more of these. I know we shouldn't really talk about Disney too much, but I would love to see this kind of stuff being done with Disney. There's no reason not to. It's just great publicity. Being at home, watching this hour-long show, I know that if I hadn't been there, even if I have already been there, all I wanted to do was get right back into Diagon Alley.
And I mean, Disney does the generic Travel Channel specials that they kind of just update anymore.
Not to this extent.
No, it's not nearly that good. And like, I can only think back to when Cars Land opened up. If they would have done a behind-the-scenes special like this.
Even New Fantasyland.
I agree. Yeah. No, the problem is with that, though, is... It always seems to turn into commercials. And yeah, this was one giant commercial, but it did not appear
blatant.
That way.
It was done really well, and there was enough information to give people that it was a behind-the-scenes look, not a commercial. So
absolutely. Yeah. But it was an excellent show. If you didn't get the chance to win or watch it, then find a way to go back and steal it.
I would hope it's on demand some places. I don't know if NBC is going to have it on their website, but... They should.
Maybe. I haven't checked yet.
They'll probably do reruns on like MSNBC, like their other networks, like CNBC.
Can never get enough of Meredith Vieira.
Meredith Vieira.
So,
although she wasn't even here. It was just like she narrated it and did like a green screen kind of thing.
Yeah. It probably wasn't even her.
Can you blame her?
But.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about everything that's actually trending now at Universal.
There's nothing else important.
But so I really want to get onto the segment that we have planned because it's really awesome.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I think it's time to announce the winner.
Should we?
Of the interactive wand.
Okay, I'm excited.
Well, you didn't let me actually explain what they were winning.
I'm so sorry.
Maybe they forgot.
Good Lord.
So if you didn't watch last week, we we said we are giving away 2 weeks ago. We said we are giving away an interactive wand that can be used in Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. Really awesome technology. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And all you had to do was some way reach out to us using Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Smoke signals.
Yeah. As long as it had the hashtag DizDiagonAlley and let us know why you wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And we chose one person.
We did. And before we do that, I just want to say that we got so many great responses.
We did.
It was really nice to see comments on Facebook and the hashtag was on Twitter. And
I know.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so, and a lot of people were excited about different things.
Yes.
So I was happy about the response. But
yeah. Should we get right to it?
Yeah, let me know who the winner is.
All right. So we chose Paige Liu on Twitter. Her Twitter handle, which I'm going to screw up, is PaigeNevin3.
Mm-hmm.
So she explained why she's excited. She has a trip planned. So I'm very excited that she gets to have this wand, and hopefully it makes her trip cool. And we will write to her and get her information.
Yes.
But congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes. And thank you so much to everybody for writing in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we actually want to start getting more engaged with all you people out there watching, listening. So if you are watching right now,
yes,
you can see at the top of the screen, there's a hashtag DizUniversal. If you start using that hashtag, then we will see it, and then we'll write back to you if it's anything important. If it's not, we'll just see it, acknowledge it, and ignore it.
It's very subjective.
But, you know, from each week, we might use it for a special giveaway. We might do something else with it. So make sure you're using that hashtag.
Yeah, just say things to us. It doesn't have to be nice things. I mean, I'd prefer it to be nice things, but
we do need friends, and we need friends at Universal.
We do need friends.
So,
yeah.
But, yep, use the hashtag. And
exactly.
Something else you can use the hashtag for. We have a really fun game for everyone to play.
It is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the picture, but I'll talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to play a game where we will have a photo of something at Universal Resort or Universal Orlando Resort. It could be in the parks. I think we'll probably end up doing maybe a couple resort ones, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from Universal. We're going to take the photo and we'll put a blur on it so you can't immediately tell what it is.
Yep.
And then we will put it out there. We'll post it to Facebook, Twitter. We'll show you right now on the show. And then we will, if you get the answer right, out of the people that get the answer right, we will choose a winner. And what will the thing be?
They will win a special prize that has yet been decided.
Good. I'm not the only one that has no idea.
It might be a gift card for a set amount of money, and it might not. We have to figure out what we can give away.
Announced at a later date.
Yeah, that's not our job.
So should we show the first photo in this game?
I think we absolutely should show it. So figure out where this is from.
It's mysterious. So like I said, we will also, if you're listening, we'll put it on Twitter and Facebook on our accounts, so you'll be able to find it there.
So, and on our Facebook, facebook.com/DizUnplugged.
And Twitter is @DizUnplugged.
Yep. So make sure you're following and liking both of those so that way you can actually see this. So after a week, if no one's gotten it right, we'll reduce the blurriness a little more.
I forgot to mention that part. But if it's too difficult, we'll tone it back a bit. And so it'll be easier to guess.
But that's what's
I have
nice.
A feeling.
Well, that's what's nice about having 2 weeks in between. So that way we can make sure that more people have a chance at winning something that we don't even know yet.
an amazing secret prize.
Details. But
it's going to be fun. So just tell us what you think it is.
Look
hashtag
for that.
Or Facebook.
Facebook.com/DizUnplugged.
Yes.
@DizUnplugged. Well, with that, I think it's time for our spotlight on the universe.
Yes, shall we?
That's a pun.
It's
a pun. Spotlight
on
the
universe.
Is it really a pun? Sure. And this week, we're saying, if you like this, then try that.
Yeah. Like this?
Try or at least
this.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what it's called.
So,
but the basic gist is you are familiar with something at Disney. Try this experience, ride, show, whatever at Universal.
Yeah.
Because they're comparable. They're not exact. And we'll go into some specifics that we've come up with. But I think that they, at the root of it, it's either the same type of ride or the same type of experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, whenever you explain this concept to me, I understood where you were coming from with it, and maybe I'm wrong and I just wasn't listening to you. But the way I see it is a lot of the feedback we get from anyone who hears us talking about Universal saying, I kind of like the way you guys are saying it all, but the topic just really doesn't interest me in general.
Sure,
And, you know, that kind of hurts for us to actually hear it because you know, we love Universal now. Well, I've always loved it since I've started going.
Sure, you have.
You just recently learned about it. So
I heard tell of it, but...
But in general, everyone likes what's happening, but we want to actually show you why to go.
Okay, sure.
And I think that the attractions are the biggest part of it. There's good food there. There's not so good food there. There's good attractions there.
There are
not so good attractions there. But we want to talk about some that might say like, oh.
But everything you're saying applies to almost every theme park, you know. So it's not just.
Doesn't apply to Six Flags.
Six Flags, Texas. The one right on the road. All right.
Sound effects. So let's start with an easy first one.
Okay. Should we mention the Disney one first, or do you want to mention the Universal one first?
Your call.
I think we should probably just mention the Disney one first. So,
okay.
Peter Pan's Flight, which I think we're all pretty familiar with at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
it's a dark ride.
I think so.
If you like that type of experience, very few thrills. It's a pretty basic, and it's not an Omnimover, but it's a slow-moving vehicle. I think we would compare it most to E.T.
Absolutely.
And if you like that experience on Peter Pan, definitely try E.T. Do not leave that park without going on E.T.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that I love most about E.T.
Mm-hmm.
is the fact that, for our generation at least, it's something that I grew up on. I don't know if you were kind of
absolutely.
The same way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, granted, growing up, I always watched Peter Pan, too, and I have an affinity for that. But I really actually have one for E.T. And the first time I went on it was as an adult. And despite being afraid from it and thinking that if there's such thing as a bad acid trip, then this is what it's actually probably like.
Yeah.
Despite thinking that, it was still like a flashback to childhood.
Sure.
And that's what I loved about it. And that's good. I think a lot of people love about Peter Pan. First off, it's both rides use a really cool overhead system of how it
the
moves on the
track. Suspended from the ceiling.
Peter Pan, you fly on the ship. E.T., you ride on bikes.
I feel like you can't even describe the ride vehicle in E.T. properly. It's a row of 16 bikes.
Yeah.
Not
straight across.
No, I'm sorry.
Four by four. Yeah.
Full-size bicycles.
Yeah.
With some lowered handlebars.
Yeah.
That come onto your lap and you hold and you put your feet up on the pedals and then the whole thing rises up and you go through the attraction.
Yeah. And I mean, in a sense, it is like the same thing as Peter Pan.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, they even do, instead of flying over London and seeing it down below with black light, they do flying over California and, I mean, just a nondescript desert part of California.
But there's a city. You see lights and stuff. I think the best way I could describe it is it's Peter Pan, but taken to such a bigger level.
Oh, yeah.
A bigger scale. I mean, everything is huge, full-size people animatronics in the forest, and it tells the story and it takes you a little further, but I think it's great.
Yeah, and I think anyone from our generation and older would try it right away just knowing it's E.T. But for people who are kind of weary on it, don't really like E.T. that much, but they like that simple type of dark ride.
Exactly.
It's perfect
for
them.
Go on it, yes.
So I like that. So let's say if you're at Disney and you're a little more into the interactive
type
ride. So there you have Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, and you have Toy Story Midway Mania.
And both are they're kind of carnival rides where you have a gun that has a laser, and then you have to work towards shooting certain targets, and then your score goes up, blah, 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 and that's how this works. At Universal, they have something very similar in Men in Black.
Yeah.
Yes. So the premise of Men in Black is you're at the World's Fair, or you're at the location of it, and you're going to see an exhibit. And then something happens, aliens happen, you have to go through this pre-show, and then they bring you in, and then you sit in this vehicle, and you have to shoot the gun at the aliens.
That was very close. A for effort.
So what else, what's wrong?
Well, you end up at the MIB, and you go through the training facility, and you start your training on your things, and then once you start your training, then all of a sudden there's an alien attack.
Okay.
Hence
but
the
I feel
name,
like that,
Men in Black,
what I said
alien
was right.
Attack. It was close enough.
Okay.
But yeah, it's... It's a different style in the way you sit. You have three people in two row in each car.
Yes.
It's three and then three behind it. The three behind are on an elevated platform. So it is different in that sense.
It's a little odd. We were in the back row. We had to kind of reach over people's heads make our targets.
And my main issue with Men in Black Alien Attack, it's a fun ride, especially if you're fans of the film. I only say Men in Black because anyone who's a fan of Men in Black 2 and 3 is... I'll move on. Okay. I'll move on.
This is all you.
Men in Black 1, it's fun, and it's a good movie.
Yeah.
And the ride actually takes a lot of fun energy from it. And but in terms of how you actually play the game and shoot the gun, it's just luck of the draw. With Buzz Lightyear, you know, you're shooting at the little cameras or IR sensors, whatever it is. Toy Story Midway Mania, you actually see what you're shooting at on the 3D screen right in front of you. This, you can see little red lights shooting at aliens. And then sometimes you'll shoot at them over and over again, and nothing will happen to your score. And then other times...
I'll be honest, I wasn't paying too much attention. I knew I was trying to get a higher score.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really registering whether I hit something and then the score. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's all just random. I know there is something around it. But for people who do like that general type of attraction, it's something different. And, I mean, it's almost like knocked up a couple notches just because of the spinning aspect.
And I do want to talk about that real quick, is that it's more intense than the two Disney equivalents that we talked about, Midway Mania and Buzz Lightyear, and the fact that it spins very quickly, so much so that I was on the verge of kind of getting sick. So... I don't know if I would so much do it again, but if you're someone that likes that kind of spinning and that thrill, but then also that interactive quality too.
It's almost a good ride for someone who likes a little more souped up type ride like that. But you don't even have to play the game to enjoy it. It's actually probably more fun if you're just sitting there and watching the bad looking aliens.
Well, that's the thing. In addition to that, I want to say that it's good quality atmosphere.
Yeah.
So there's no screens involved. It's all animatronics. It's things that are happening around you.
Yeah.
It's not kind of a virtual reality thing where you're wearing glasses. You're in that environment. So
except for Will Smith at the end.
There is Will Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can't have
Tommy Lee Jones there or no?
No, of course not.
Oh,
he was smart.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, just to preface this next type of attraction, motion simulators. We know that there's a ton of them at Universal. Mm-hmm. A lot of what they've been doing recently has been based off of motion simulators.
Yeah.
Disney, really, anymore. You can argue that a dinosaur is a moving motion simulator, and we'll talk about that later. But then kind of Soarin's in the same way. It's a moving motion simulator. And then you have Star Tours, though.
Yeah.
That is your old school style. Stay in one place simulator, and
they shove you in a box and then they shake the box until you're ill.
And that's exactly right. Universal technically doesn't have that, but they do have a different version in Simpsons and Despicable Me Minion Mayhem.
Yes.
So I know that you would get, well, you've done Despicable Me.
I have done Despicable Me.
And you closed your eyes.
I did. It's a theater. So you sit in a theater, which was, I thought was very interesting. It's not so much the capsule, like you described. Universal doesn't really have those. So you're sitting in a theater. So I thought I was going to be fine. But then each section of the theater does its own kind of like movement. Yeah. And I know that there are seats in the back, you told me, that are reduced motion.
Right, at the front.
Oh, they're in the front of the screen.
They have a non-moving platform. Or it's like just a bench that you can sit on to still watch the movie and see everything. You just don't get the moving part of it. So it's like watching a normal 3D movie.
Sure.
But then you also have The Simpsons, which is kind of on the same level as Despicable Me.
Okay.
It's the exact same. You sit in a car and you're just moving around. However, what you do there is you get in your car and you're in this tiny room, and then they lift you up and that gets you into the IMAX dome, almost kind of like in the same way as Soarin, but not on that scale. It just literally, you go upstairs, like one floor. And then instead of having that one screen in front of you and you're in the box moving, it's wide open in that theater setting with a giant IMAX screen. And then if you look around, you can see a couple cars next to you.
Okay.
And then if you're on the bottom floor, then you can see two more rows of cars up above you. And it's all kind of open like that. And I know they do make a lot of people sick. I don't get motion sick off of these type of simulators. I actually get more sick off of the Star Tours type because I am confined in that box.
Oh, I would agree with that. I get way more sick at Star Tours than I did at Minion Mayhem.
Yeah, the open theater, that whole thing doesn't bother me at all. I much prefer it, and that's why I think it's something that definitely has to be tried. And that goes along with if you're actually a fan of The Simpsons or Despicable Me, but it seems like any more these days, everyone loves Despicable Me, except for you. You've never seen it.
I haven't seen it, so it's not,
Yeah. The Simpsons have been on for 23 years now.
Oh, I love The Simpsons. I probably will do the ride eventually. I'm going into it thinking I'm going to be sick, so I've kind of been pushing it off. But
I think you should.
All right, I'll do it.
But do we want to get back to more like dark ride?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay.
So there are a lot of dark rides, specifically in Fantasyland. I think in both Magic Kingdom, but also in Disneyland, that Disney's kind of known for. And I think Universal has a pretty good one called it's Cat in the Hat. Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
They take the story. It's not the scary Mike Myers version. Right. It's the nice.
It's not. It's the good based off the book.
But it's very similar to Winnie the Pooh, I would say, more so than anything. You sit in a very similar car with two rows, and then it takes you around and does kind of a twisty thing. It takes you through the whole story while the scenes are kind of played out in animatronics and kind of effects throughout the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of, once again, like I talked about for Peter Pan over and over, and I'll do it with Cat in the Hat, I don't think that any little kid grows up and doesn't ever read the book Cat
exactly.
in the Hat.
Exactly, yeah.
Hopefully they don't have to see the Mike Myers movie, but as long as they read the book, that's good enough. It's a bad movie.
No, it's horrible.
Let's just be frank. But the book itself is so classic, and everyone can relate to the story of their mom's leaving for the day, and then all of a sudden
a cat with a big hat. I mean,
things just running around
thing
causing mayhem.
Thing too. I mean, everyone can relate.
I love the ride itself, and I like that it is a little bit stepped up from just a easygoing Disney dark ride. It's almost, even though it's not at Disney World, it reminds me a lot of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and that it's, you know, it's not so easy
in the
going.
Motion.
Yeah,
it's kind of jerky in a way, not in an uncomfortable way, but just sudden movements.
Well,
I would say.
Yeah, and however, they also did cut down the spinning.
Well,
it
used
to have a big spinning effect in it that made a lot of people sick.
Yeah,
a lot of people were dropping their cell phones. Which you know nothing about dropping.
No, I don't. I don't think we should talk about
it. Don't go there. That was embarrassing. But anyway, sorry. They took out the spinning, which is made it a lot more calm, a lot more mild, and definitely makes it even closer. And I think more families will actually enjoy going on it because of it.
And it had a short wait. I mean, I'd be surprised if this any time goes over 25 minutes, 30.
It'll get up to 45 minutes whenever it's really
45?
Busy.
All right.
But no, it does have a big following behind it. Clearly you're not one of them, but it's something.
I'm not one of the what, followers?
One of the followers.
I didn't say it was bad.
I just think it's something to try if you are a fan of these Fantasyland dark rides.
I'm pretty sure I said it was good. Yeah.
But let's go back to what I said before with Dinosaur and the fact that that's technically a moving motion simulator. This is where Universal goes crazy because they have three of them.
They have three of them, and Dinosaur I would almost remove from that category only because there's no screen and glasses. So it's a real environment. So and that's really what kind of takes it over the edge for me. In Dinosaur, the vehicle's open.
Yeah.
You're not watching a screen move at the same time you're moving. That's where the trouble comes in. And all three of Universal's equivalents has this.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I can't argue with you on that.
Yeah.
Granted, with Forbidden Journey, it is half and half. I mean, you have your screens, but then you also
All it takes is the 1 second of it.
And that's the type of thing you get sick. But for people who love Dinosaur, I think for the people who are a fan of that and they don't get motion sick and they can take that type of thing.
Exactly. With that caveat, I'll agree. Yeah.
I think Forbidden Journey, Spider-Man, and Transformers are all better than Dinosaur. I love...
Okay.
I mean, when Spider-Man opened up back with the park in 1999, Islands of Adventure, it was... Well, going back to Travel Channel specials, again, it was on all the Travel Channel specials when they were talking about, like, the greatest new rides coming to theme parks.
Okay.
And that type of technology is. It's amazing how they can do everything they do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the technology still holds up to this day, and that's why Transformers uses the same exact kind. And that's why both of those rides constantly have hour-plus wait. And then Forbidden Journey just took it up another 14 notches and made one of the most motion sickness inducing rides ever created.
Very familiar. Yeah.
I would like to call it a puke machine.
You can call it that. Yeah.
So, but that's it. It definitely isn't for those who can't hold their lunch, but I think all three of those rides are even better than Dinosaur. And I love Dinosaur. If this was Indiana Jones out at Disneyland, that would be a different story.
Yeah.
But in terms of Dinosaur compared to those three, these three rides blow it out of the water.
I don't agree with that, obviously, but I will say, if you're someone that can handle the screens,
yeah,
and the 3D effects and all that stuff, then you will probably agree with that.
Well, agree, yeah, to disagree, sir.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
So, but now let's get a little wet.
Okay. So, Kali River Rapids at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
It's a, what would you call it? It's not technically a raft.
It's a round.
Yeah, it's a raft. Okay, a raft.
It's a raft.
So you're in a round raft and you're going down rapids, and that's the type of ride it is. Grizzly River Rapids out in California Adventure is very similar, mm-hmm, in the fact that it's the same kind of ride vehicle. And then you go on like a river rapids.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same. You board it on a,
yes,
on a moving platform. You, mm-hmm, get in your thing, you put your seat buckle on, you go up a hill, and then you slowly go down, and then there's at least one big drop at one point in time.
Yes.
So at Universal, we have Bluto's, Popeye and Bluto's Billadrap Barb.
What is it?
Barge.
Barge.
I'm not going to try to say it one more time.
Popeye's and Bluto's.
Bilge rat barges.
Bilge rat barges.
Bilge rat,
all right,
barges.
Is olive oil there?
Olive oil is there in a sense.
Oh, okay. Or spirit is there.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
Haven't been on it.
I have not done it yet. I've seen it. And from what I hear, you get completely drenched from this ride, which I think that's something that's great, especially in the summer in Florida. But I would also time it with what you're doing.
Well, the fact is, it's in a place called Toon Lagoon. And when Lagoon is, yes, in the title, you have to expect that you're going to get wet around every corner. And basically, the only thing I have to say about Bluto's is it's probably the best water ride in Orlando.
Okay.
Kali River Rapids, I know a lot of people leave it saying like, oh, yeah, that was fun. It was really short and only two people got wet.
It's got an important message.
I don't need a message whenever I'm going on a water ride. I want to get wet, except for those weirdos who wear ponchos on, or the ones that,
those are the worst people,
like, I wrote it, but I didn't want to get wet. I'm riding this.
It's fine
this,
if you wear ponchos. It really is fine. It's not.
We'll have a discussion about that later.
Okay.
But Bluto's, you're absolutely going to get drenched no matter where you sit. And yeah, you don't need to know the story about Popeye. Everyone should know who Popeye is, at least. But yeah, the fact is, it's just an amazing water ride. And in a Florida summer when it's 90 degrees, I would say wait in line for this, because you're not going to be disappointed.
Okay.
So
I guess I need to go do it.
You do.
Yeah.
Chop, chop. Okay. But for people who want to cool down without going,
yes,
into the icy depths of Popeye and Bluto's,
okay,
you could also go into a 3D movie.
Yes, you can do that.
So
Disney has a couple of them.
They do.
Muppet Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to Be a Bug.
Yeah.
There's differences. But in essence, you're in a theater. You are wearing glasses. You're watching a movie. It's kind of a, mm-hmm, a nice experience. It's very peaceful. You just watch the movie. You could get bit by something, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And also Captain EO, too.
Captain EO, yes.
Well, it's a maybe. Bit. We don't know. We don't know if he's ever going to come back.
Yeah, we'll
save the world.
But that type of thing, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, that, yeah, kind of thing.
We all know what these movies are.
Those things.
Yeah.
Well, Universal has one.
They have two.
Okay, yes, they do.
The first one, Shrek 4D. Oh, yes. I feel like you have to mention it, but at the same time, I won't say if you like the 3D movies at Disney, you have to try Shrek 4D.
Okay.
Because if you don't like Shrek and you're annoyed at all Get Out as Shrek, as I am. I mean, I like the first movie. It was a classic one. But
the second one's better than the first. No question, Craig.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you on that. I'm just saying, if you go back and watch any of them now, it's very hard to get through.
The second?
All of them.
I don't know about the second. I love the
They're
second.
Not really holding up. But be that as it is, it's the same type. If you like Shrek, try it. However, what I did want to mention, even though it is ages and ages old, Terminator 2. So it is a 3D film,
yes,
set kind of around the same time as Terminator 2, and it's such a bizarre choice for a 3D movie, in that a lot of parents won't take their kids to it because A, they shouldn't be seeing Terminator 2 to begin with, to know about it before they go into the theme park.
Okay.
I mean, my mom let me watch Terminator 2 whenever I was probably too young. And I'm not going to get on her about her judgment calls
on that.
Well,
she's watching, so yeah.
But be that as it is, I watched it. So now I knew about it before I went on it.
Okay.
And I mean, you have your 3D screen. However, it's kicked up a bunch of notches again in more Emerald references, because now you have actual live action stuff happening around you.
Okay.
So they have an Arnold lookalike, and well, it is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what he's doing now.
It's Arnold.
He's working at Universal Studios.
And you have all the people from the movies, and they actually are moving around, and they've got prop guns, and they're shooting and going bang bang, and
it's just there's no sound effects. They're just saying.
I'm not going to go into the actual plot, but it's real live characters inside interacting with what's happening on the movie screen as well.
Okay,
so it blends.
It adds a nice element. Yeah.
So even if you haven't seen the movie and you don't like it, I still say give it a try, just because it's something different in terms of that movie.
Sure, I completely agree. And I've never seen the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
But I will do this just to see what it's like.
And it makes it into a complete experience that is definitely unique.
This is a pretty old experience, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
So, I believe it feels dated? I know it's been a little while since you've done it, but...
It is dated, but to an extent, Terminator 2 is a classic James Cameron movie, and he helped out on... And like directed all the scenes for it. And he was a big part in making the 3D movie.
Okay.
And I mean, James Cameron had a hand in it. So he made sure that it lasted its age. So I wouldn't be upset if it went, but at the same time, it
holds
good.
Up. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. So do you want to move on?
Yeah,
shall we move on to a couple more thrill rides?
Yeah.
You know, Disney isn't really known for their thrill rides, but there are a couple of roller coasters that I would consider solid roller coasters. They're not, they're not Busch Gardens level.
Yeah.
But you have Space Mountain, you have Expedition Everest, and Rock and Roller Coaster. All I would say are good. Good roller coasters.
They're fun.
Something similar, you would say, is the Mummy.
Oh, well, okay. I wouldn't. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, here's what I want to say. So the Mummy's kind of deceiving. And the fact that when you go in there and you see the vehicle, you sit down, it looks immediately just like the ride vehicle for Dinosaur, or that type of ride where it's, you sit in rows of four and it looks like a vehicle or a car.
Yeah.
Now, here's where the trick comes in, and that's why it's probably compared to these other three attractions, is because it's actually on a track.
Yeah.
And the second you take off, you realize it's not that same type of ride vehicle and system as those other rides.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a roller coaster. It does start off very slow and kind of moves around almost in a mine train style. And then all of a sudden you get to some parts where you're going backwards and being shot off and then shot straight up. The reason why I lump it in the Space Mountain, Expedition Everest, and Rock and Roller Coaster is because it's kind of a combination of all three.
Okay.
In a sense. I mean, you have the inside type roller coaster like Space Mountain, and then Expedition Everest, kind of the drops and the twists and the turns are very similar to the same size as those in the Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
The Mummy doesn't have a big of drop
on that Everest,
first one as Everest. Yeah, not even close, but still the twisting and the turning, it's on that same level.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rock and Roller Coaster, that launch feature that people love, you have it in the Mummy too.
Yeah.
And it's fun because you're going uphill almost the same way as you do it in the Hulk.
And I would also add, on other levels, it has a lot of comparisons to Rock and Roller Coaster in the way that things are laid out. And it's inside, it's dark.
Yeah.
But the way that the scenes are laid out.
Yeah.
They're lit up. You see things, you pass things.
A lot of neon signs that they use with black light.
Are there?
In the Mummy there is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's different parts, obviously, to the Mummy. Yeah. I remember a lot of the animatronic guys, the mummies that jump at you. There's a lot of fire effects.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, it's a combination of all these, like you've been saying. Yeah.
No. And it's kind of that one fun attraction that's like all the other roller coasters at Disney mixed into one. So if you're a fan of any of those three, then I think it's something that you get all in one package right there.
I agree.
And I think in terms of thrill ride level, most people who will ride Space Mountain or Everest or Rock and Roller Coaster, they'll ride all of them unless they're afraid to go upside down. Maybe they don't do Rockin', but Mummy doesn't go upside down. So I want to put that clearly, but I'd say it's on the same intensity as those rides.
Sure. And
definitely something that can't be missed, especially if you love Brendan Fraser.
Which everyone does. Yeah.
I love him.
I also want to mention this can get a long queue.
Yeah.
Especially, in high crowd times.
Yeah.
But I would say it's worth it, and you do get the Express Pass if you have that. You can use that on this attraction. So
yeah.
I say it's definitely worth it. Definitely worth a wait.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would agree. And one of the best rides at Studios. And then kind of wrapping up with this, we have one more ride.
Okay.
That I think is a favorite, especially in the summertime. And that is Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain, yes.
Everyone's favorite ride about a movie they've not seen legally.
Legally. The thing about Splash Mountain is it's kind of in between. You are going to get wet, depending on where you're sitting. But there's a chance that you won't. It could just be a nice thrill ride.
Yeah.
You could walk off with just like a wet, you know, I don't know, splash or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the same kind of vein as some of the people on Cali, even though you can go on Cali River Rapids and not get wet.
Exactly.
But the kind of assumption is you have the potential to get drenched. So that's kind of this in-between. So it's a water ride, but, you know, you might not get completely soaked. Universal has Jurassic Park, which I would definitely compare to Splash Mountain in the way that it tells kind of a story, and you go through, there's two parts.
However, Jurassic Park is not a log ride. It is a...
Well, yeah.
It's a boat ride.
You're in a boat.
And you're sitting five people across six rows back.
Okay.
So, it's a big boat. And if you've seen these big boats before, you know the one thing they do is they create a very, very big splash.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of fun scenes as you go around seeing dinosaurs. And then, of course, velociraptors go crazy, take control. Definitely not like Splash Mountain in that sense. However, that final drop on Jurassic Park, it's absolutely huge. And
it's
everyone gets wet. Not they won't get soaked necessarily.
Yeah, but you will, your face and your head will get wet. Yes.
So, and I mean, it is a very, very big and steep drop.
I would also argue that people are probably more scared of the drop than getting wet on this attraction. Yeah. Splash Mountain, the drop, you know, is fairly intense and you can be scared of it, but this is way more intense than Splash Mountain.
This is definitely more intense. However, I would ride it over and over again just for that last drop.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I mean, the ride is so tall. You see it from I-4.
Yeah.
You immediately know that that's Jurassic Park over there.
And I mean, to get closer to Splash Mountain though, we have Ripsaw Falls.
Yes.
And that is a log ride. Unlike our Splash Mountain, it's actually sitting in a straight row, five people in each row.
Yeah.
Our Splash Mountain is side-by-side seating all the way back. The one issue with Ripsaw is it's a very tight condensed log, so it's very hard for me to get in and out just because of my height.
And there's also, like, if I remember this correctly, there's no texture, there's no like grip, so when the boat is completely, or not the boat, but the vehicle is soaking wet, it is so awkward to get out of this thing. Your hands are slipping. You can't, like, you told me that there's a potential to have to help people.
Oh yeah, they'll take people in the back and they'll cut them out of the boat if they can't get out. I mean, I'm being dead honest though. They'll gut them out.
All right.
They'll do what they got to.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. But it's a great ride. And it's all in this cool kind of cartoon style of
the... Yeah, Dudley Do-Right.
Dudley Do-Right
is what it's based off of. So, I mean, people might not be as familiar with Dudley Do-Right unless, once again, they're fans of Brendan Fraser and they've seen that great Rocky and Bullwinkle movie. I don't think he actually... No, they made a Dudley Do-Right movie.
Did they? I don't know.
They did. And then they also made the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie.
With Rene Russo.
Both were horrible.
Yeah.
But they might not be that... in touch with who Dudley Do-Right is, but that doesn't matter. This is a really, really fun water ride. And whenever you go down that final drop, they kind of have a double dip, like Splash Mountain, where you go down and then you come back up and then you level out. They have one of these on their final drop, except while you go in the level out portion, they also have these kind of rapids on the sides of the boats and where you are. And that water whips you in the face, and it hurts so bad. I mean, this
really
water
sell
ride,
this ride.
This, yeah. Well, no, it's fun because then you're laughing about it.
My face is bleeding.
I'm pained. But there is no water ride, no log ride that I've ever been on that's been like this.
Yeah,
it's one of a kind. Unless I just haven't found the other one.
It's two of a kind.
And then I
will say that
this
is pretty similar in Splash Mountain in the fact that there's a bridge.
Yeah.
So even if someone in your party doesn't want to ride this, there's a place to wait. And there's kind of that fun reveal. If you stand on the bridge, the vehicle comes down the hill or whatever, and you can get wet too.
But one of my favorite water rides, still not as good as Bluto's, but I highly recommend it. And for people who want even more thrills than Splash Mountain, I think it's one to hit.
Agree.
And then one last thing I just wanted to mention. I forgot to put it in your script, but I have it in mind.
Surprise.
For fans of Disney who like nighttime entertainment,
okay.
It is worth watching the cinematic spectacular over at Universal Studios. I like to combine it and say that it's kind of has fireworks, and it's a combination of like trying to be World of Color, but it's not, because they don't have fun fountains. They just have screens with water mist coming down, and they shoot scenes. I like watching it to see the good movies that Universal's made, like the monster movies and Jaws and Back to the Future. And then whenever they get to the comedy section where they are showing clips of their comedy movies with fireworks going off in the background, and you have American Pie pop up, and you're like, okay, that's weird. And then you have the Jim Carrey Grinch version pop up.
That's
and
in like, there? Ugh. I haven't seen this yet. I see the fireworks from my apartment, but I've never seen the show.
I like the show in that it shows you everything great that Universal has made, but then at the same time, it also shows you that they have made a lot of really lousy comedies.
So they're honest and upfront about the quality of movies they make.
They are. They might consider them classics.
Yeah.
The population definitely wouldn't, but it's something. I mean, it's not as good as any nighttime show at Disney, but for people who like, if they just want to see a firework go off, this is where you need to see it.
Well, that's a raving review.
I like it, but
people that like to see a firework go off.
Only one. That's if there's any more than that, it starts to scare me.
Just the Roman candle in the driveway?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a lot of similarities and differences and attractions at Universal and Disney.
Yeah. So I think the point of us doing this is to show that there's, you know, there's things that you can really compare it to. And if you do have this, you know, really affinity for Disney and you're very familiar with this stuff, it's easy to visit a new park that you've never been to. And even though you don't necessarily connect with some of the intellectual properties or some of the themes of the rides, there are experiences that you can do that will
that are just
enjoy.
As good.
They're just as good, sometimes even better.
Yep. Yeah. Chinx.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, good job.
But just before we wrap things up, though, I wanted to mention that we do have an official prize for if you get the blurred image right and you're randomly chosen.
Okay.
We are going to give a $50 gift card out that is for Amex, American Express. Because American Express is the official card holder of... they're not the card holder.
What are we taking?
No, of Universal.
That's
the official card to use there.
Oh.
So a Amex gift card will work there. So $50 Amex gift card.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So whoever guesses the blurred image right, you might win it. So good luck with that. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition.
Yes.
So thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thanks.
And, we will be back in 2 weeks with more. Thanks.